worship team for leading us this morning, bringing us closer into the presence of the Lord. What do we have here on the screen? Sustenance. It's sustenance for some of us. Some of us have body by Pringles. That's okay. Probably not. No, we're going to die sooner. It's okay, we'll get to be with Jesus. If I can find out where I put my notes. Shouldn't delete your stuff. Anyways, we'll find them eventually. So what's the expression with chips? I bet you can't eat just one. Anybody in that boat? Yeah, can't eat just one. Can't just eat a small little baggie, those little snack size or personal bag size. It's not true. What's the motto for Pringles? Or it used to be their slogan. Once you pop, you can't stop. Once you pop, you can't stop. There's no contentment with potato chips, is there? Let's see here. What do they say are the two happiest days about owning a boat? The day you buy it, the day you sell it. Two happiest days of boat ownership. Not the day you spend driving it around the state of Florida, eventually arriving home. Two happiest days. We look forward, oh man, I can't wait to have that vessel. I can't wait to get rid of this fun headache. Video games. Lots of different video games, but a lot of them they've created now, especially with your phone. It's this never-ending cycle of just beating the next level and the next level. And there's no winning. It's not you finally defeated King Koopa, you've arrived, you beat level 9 or whatever. It just keeps on going and going and going and going, and it sucks you into the endless trap. Who's been sucked into those endless traps of games? Be honest, I've been sucked in more times than I'd like to admit. There's no contentment in those games. It's just, all right, a little bit more. And unfortunately, you level up quickly. You get to, by the first hour, you're at level 4. This is great. And then level 5 is the end of the day, and then it takes a day or two, and before you've noticed, you've wasted weeks. Ah, you just get to the next one, and just it never ends. No contentment there. Las Vegas. Let me just pull, just one more pull of the slot, and I'll be rich. Just one more hand, one more roll of the dice. And I'll finally get there. Similar to fishing. Just one more cast, right? It's just one more cast. It's that next cast, and I'll get that big one. One more cast. I tried to catch the meme. It's been going around at least a couple pages I saw. It has these two fish out in the water, and the fisherman, he's walking back to his car. He's got his fishery pole, and the one fish says to the other, I bet you $50 I can splash my tail in the water, and he'll come back. Anybody fish has been there? Oh, there's some action. I know it, but just one more cast. Just one more cast, and then you're there forever, aren't you? TV, just one more episode. Just one more. You know, and before you know it's 11, 12 at night. For some people, that is late. Some of you, it's not. Might hit some sore spots. Books. Just one more chapter. If I just, you know, just another hour of reading, just one more book in my library, just another shelf, just another bookshelf. And then I'll finally have enough books. Don't worry, I'm going to try to meddle with everybody here this morning. I think I've probably hit enough sore spots. Money. Well, I see, it's nice Audrey and Julia are at that age where, you know, $5 is a lot of money. You know, how much is that? We're checking out at Walmart. You know, it's $120. Whoa, do you have that much money? Yeah, I have that much money to buy our food for the week, the month. Whoa. $120, $200, that is a lot of money, but we go through that quickly, don't we? When we go to Walmart, Publix, doing whatever, perhaps clothing, I don't know, but it's interesting as we grow older, it's not that much anymore. We're not content with just that little amount. Many of us, we are guilty of just that next pay raise. If I can just keep on climbing whatever corporate ladder, corporate structure, and there's certainly the church isn't immune to that. A number of years ago when I first came into ministry, it was a large church, so it had a big organization. And I was pretty content to start off with. In my mind, I started wondering, man, I wonder, how do I get to this position, to that, so that way I can start climbing up the corporate ladder of the church? Not the best attitude to have, not the best, you know, being content with what the Lord has had you in. So if you haven't caught it, our word for the day is contentment. We're going to look at contentment, which is tough. Being content with what the Lord has given us. Here's the definition of contentment: the state of being satisfied with what one is or has, not wanting more or anything less. So being content means that you don't want more and you don't desire anything less. And in the Lord, we should be content. God, I don't need anything more than you. Man, look at all that you give me. We're going to unpack a lot of the more that Jesus gives us. But Jesus, I don't need anything less than you. Well, what you've done for me, the wonderful God you are, you know, let me trade you in for a lesser deity. Let me trade you in for a little. You know what? I'd rather have less of your love. I'd rather have less of your mercy. I'd rather have less of your grace. Anybody ever pray that prayer? No. That'd be awfully silly of us. Jesus, I want less of you. So it's being content is not wanting more or anything less than what we have. And so contentment, what contentment isn't, is just rolling over if there's a problem. Just, you know what? I give up. You know, I'm being hurt. I'm being taken advantage of. This is horrible. This is wrong. My contractor is lying to me. They're not keeping their word. Any other number of problems. Well, no, there's a point where, hey, time out. You all said I'd get a new roof 3 weeks ago. Can you please tell me when your crew is going to come out here? You guys said that the electrical system was going to be worked on. What's going on here? Hey, you know, time out, we have a big sin problem. Contentment isn't saying, all right, man, wow, this is a big problem. Let's just, you know, that's okay. It's kind of, you know, that's okay, being content. And we shouldn't be content with our spiritual lives either. We shouldn't be content, all right, well, okay, I'm 34. Right? I'm 34. I've arrived. I've grown as much as I need to in the Lord. We don't want to be content in that. If you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, I would encourage you don't want to be content with, all right, well, I think I have enough knowledge and experience and enough of Jesus' love. I think it's time to just go ahead and put it into neutral. Let's just go ahead and coast from here. Contentment, not wanting more, being satisfied, all right, well, this is what the Lord has. And it's easy to become discontent. All right, finally, I got that roof. Now, where is that drywall? When are we going to get that drywall guy coming in here? When's the insulation? When are we getting the mold taken care of? When are we getting this or that? And man, stepping back, whoa, Lord, thank you. It's easy to play those games. Oh, man, wow, thank you, Jesus. This is wonderful. We're in the long haul here. But like I said, oftentimes there's incredible amount of more that God gives us, that Jesus gives us. So when we think of, when we accepted the gospel, when we accepted the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, and as a result it paid the penalty for my sin. And I get that, as it's often phrased, you know, I get to be in heaven forever with God. But there's so much more than that. God gives us more. So let's go ahead and look at some of those more statements. So we get an incredible amount of more from God. So if we can be content in God, just look at everything that he gives us. So starting off with, Jesus said, well, I came that there may be life and have it abundantly. Jesus came to give you and me abundant life. Not just to kind of, let's just try to get through the day, get through the week, get through my life so finally I can be with Jesus and I can finally have joy. I can finally be happy. He gives us abundant life right now. And how does he give us abundant life? Well, part of it, you and I, we're a new creation. So it's not just, here's your path to heaven, please don't lose this because I can't make you a second one. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. You and I, if we, for followers of Jesus, we place our faith in him, we're new creations. I'm not marked and characterized by the old sinful, fleshful Brian, and you aren't characterized, and you're not limited to the old self that you were. We're a new creation, which gives us that abundant life. We get more from God. It's going to sound like an infomercial, because wait, there's a whole lot more here. We got, we're also ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives of the living God here on earth. Not just wait for, let me get my pastor. He's really the ambassador for Christ. He's the representative of God. Let me go ahead and get this missionary, this who's he, what's it. No, you and I, we're ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We get so much more. Following along the next passage, we become the righteousness of God. We get imputed into us his righteousness. Yes, I know that you and I fall short. We have that sin-tainted flesh. But man, we get to become the righteousness of God. How awesome is that? This gospel of his is incredibly powerful, and it keeps on going. We have Romans 5:1 tells us we have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we've been declared righteous in God's eyes by our faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this isn't a peace that is circumstantial. It is a peace that is everlasting. We're at peace with God. We don't get his wrath, his punishment. We get his discipline when we follow our flesh, his discipline when we choose to run our mouth and we knew we should have not. When we stepped out, when we should have waited for him, we have peace. We're not at war with God anymore. We get transformation, this new creation. We're transformed by the renewal of our minds, being a new creation in Christ Jesus. We get the Spirit himself interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. Have you ever run across a situation where you're just not smart enough to know how to pray? I am often. And it's interesting, when God answered those prayers, and the way he does it, I feel so stupid. Why didn't I think to even pray for that? Like, it seemed like it was an option. If it was a snake, it would have bit me right in front of me. But when we're struggling, and so many of us are struggling right now, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We get more. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dwelling, living inside of us, is interceding to the Father himself, saying, hey, Brian's pretty messed up. He really needs help here. What more do we get? We all things working together for good. That's a good thing. All this terrible nonsense going around, things are working together for good. And then finally, we know that whatever is going on, whatever big mistakes I make, nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. That's wonderful. There's no separation. Our salvation isn't contingent upon me living a good enough Christian life, upon you living a good enough Christian life. There's nothing that can separate us. We can't lose our salvation. We have eternal security. And this isn't a cheap gospel. This is the real gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you and I, if we live lives that reflect this, that really believe these truths, oh boy, we can set this church on fire. We can set this community on fire. Look at who we are, this new creation. We're renewed. We have peace with God stepping out. This is powerful stuff. So this is a God worth being content with. Being God with, all right, God, I see your plan. This is terrible. This is frustrating. I am not happy, but I'm going to be content because I see your goodness, your sovereignty in all of this. But there's still something inside of us that it creeps up, it nags, and it wants more. It's that flesh of ours that was tainted from the sin when we were that old self, had the old creation. It still wants us to do these old things, wants us to have those old thoughts, those old desires. And I believe being discontent is a result of the fall. As we know from the fall, when Adam and Eve, they ate of the fruit, and then they were separated from God, discontentment came in, I believe, primarily to draw us closer to God. D- discontent with this world. So when you and I are not followers of Jesus, we try to do more and more to satisfy our appetites, whether it's with food, whether it's with stuff, whether it's with relationships with others. There's this, I need more, I need more, and we can't get satisfied. Jesus is using it to point us to him, the only one who can satisfy. And then similarly, as you and I follow him today as followers of Christ, the discontent with the other stuff, God's still trying to point us back to the Father, point us back to him. Hey, be content in me. Look at all this more that you have. Another list of the other stuff, and you could probably add more areas that we can get easily discontent with. They don't even come close to this. This wonderful list of scriptures, this more that we get from God, yet we desire and seek more from others. So since Valentine's Day was this week, we're going to have a nice Valentine's Day message looking at that adulterous woman at the well. I guess she wasn't adulterous, but just not a very godly woman. Let's go ahead and look at the woman at the well. Look at contentment through the woman at the well. So what do we know about this woman? We know that she had five husbands, and she's now on the future number six. She's down on this well by herself. So the five husbands, now number six, probably a state of, she's probably not a content woman, is she? Looking for the satisfaction in men. And men and women, we're both guilty of this. We often feel, that if I get that significant other, they'll complete me, they'll satisfy me, they'll give me everything I need. When in reality, if we go in with that attitude, we just have two unhappy people instead of one. This discontent person, she seemed to be a social outcast, getting water by herself in the middle of the day. So what does Jesus do? He asks her for a drink. And when asked why he would be asking for a drink, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have been giving you living water. This water that provides life. This woman at the well is confused and thinking that Jesus is offering some sort of running, moving water. And also thinking that Jesus was perhaps elevating himself above Jacob, who built this well. He's saying, are you better than our forefather Jacob? And that's where we have here Jesus says to her, but everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But everyone, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus is offering her contentment. She's looking for contentment in each of these other different ways. You can come back here, you're going to thirst and thirst and thirst again. But Jesus says the water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you place your faith in me, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit, this promised Holy Spirit will come and live within you. As he says in verse 14, become the spring of water and you'll never be thirsty again. You keep on focusing on God and you won't have to have these other things to satisfy you. Doesn't mean you won't have these urges and these desires. We all have them. But you'll be content. There's an awesomeness. There's more. The Holy Spirit within you becoming the spring becomes this local source of contentment, satisfaction, a welling up until we become full. This imagery just keep on boiling and boiling and coming up. And as we see these springs, whether the Econ Fine or others, it just keeps on coming up and coming up. And those springs, they never seem to go dry, do they? We can keep on kayaking and canoeing down there. This contentment and satisfaction will be within you. And her response, I want this life, this contentment, this satisfaction. It's what each of us have been created for, as I mentioned before. If you know the story, you see that she's missing the spiritual application. But Jesus doesn't miss that she's missed it. He wants her to learn or grow. And so what's neat about this, she ends up becoming this great evangelist and going back to her community and bringing these other folks. And this woman who is on the outside and finds Jesus, and we see here we can have contentment in Jesus. Not just, obviously, this is looking at the salvific, and you'll have that contentment But each and every day, as we focus on Jesus, as we lean on him, as we fix our eyes to him, there's contentment. Similarly, we see that with Paul. He talks about contentment in a number of verses. We have here the situation, the thorn in his flesh, where he cries out three times for this thorn to be removed. But it's maturing him. It's sanctifying him. It's growing him. Verse 8, he says that he was willing to boast his weakness so that he could truly be more powerful. Paul sees the power coming from God. So verse 9, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. I'm content with my weaknesses. I'm content with the insults coming from others, the hardships, the persecutions, calamities. He says, I'm content with all this stuff because I see the bigger picture of what God's doing. It doesn't matter the circumstances going on around me. I'm content because I see Paul is a man who's having incredible impact on the community, on the world. He realized when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I'm content to know that all my limitations, because then finally I can rest and rely on God. God, you have to do it. What a great place to be. And God, I trust your plan. And with that, I get strong. Philippians, after imploring the Philippians to rejoice and not be anxious, but rather cast your anxieties on God in prayers and let his peace guard you, he speaks of contentment again. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation to be content. Paul was in prison, beaten, all these other things. He learned to be content no matter what's going on. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through him who strengthens me. See, it doesn't really matter if we have a lot. We learn from the potato chip, I still want more. I'm still going to eat more. If it's not the right thing, in fact, if you're anything like me, you'll keep on doing and doing and doing to your own pain and demise. You'll keep on eating those Doritos until you have a stomachache that night because you're not content with, oh, that tasted good. He knows how to be brought low to abound. His contentment is not based on these earthly circumstances of pain and affliction. Paul certainly was a man, once again, not talking about being content in where you are spiritually, not being content with the sin going on around you. He addressed sin. He addressed problems. He was a man who was growing and growing and growing in his faith. But his peace, his joy, his contentment was not in whether he was abounding in life by the world's standards, but it was in the Lord. And as we saw in the previous verse, when he's weak, he's strong. He learned, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all these things. If it's God giving me the strength, man, I can take on the world. Before we get to this, Jesus stood up later on after addressing the woman at the well to a different crowd. It says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in him, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Once again, Jesus promises for the believer the source of living water in this passage in John chapter 7. But he says, out of him will flow rivers of living water. So not only contentment, but there's much more. There's this abundance of life flowing to others. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. The living water, the truth about who Jesus is will flow out to others. It will impact those around him. It impacts those around us. We'll become content in who God is. So I encourage us to be content in our lives. You're loved by a great God. You and I, we're incredibly loved. We have this wonderful God. So why be content? Well, my power, my ability, my everything comes from God. It doesn't come from these other things. If I'm able to catch another fish, if I'm able to eat more chips, those are nice things, but we don't want those things to get me anxious. God wants you and I to be content in our circumstances with the stuff that feels like garbage. Don't let it distract you from what he wants you to do, what he wants to do in you. If you need to speak up and address problems, that is what you need to do. Being a good Christian is not an excuse for being a doormat and having an overdeveloped sense of empathy, but we want to speak the truth in love. Take care of the business that you got to do, and then let God take care of the results. Be content. All right, Lord, I was obedient to what you had me to do. He is sovereign and able to change circumstances and hearts that you and I are not able to do. We're simply called to be content, among other things. The Apostle Paul was courageous and strong and was content to let God do the work that only God can do. Just remember, anxiety is going to be the enemy of contentment. When I'm worried, I'm anxious about all these other things. We're to cast all of our anxieties on him, for he cares for us. I encourage you to keep on doing that every day when those anxieties, those burdens come up. Lord, this is what I'm struggling with, wrestling with here. Please take this away. You care for me. You're the only one who can address this. The joy of the Lord is that it is what carries our contentment. The contentment, the joy, they all come together. So in that time with him, as we reflect on all these wonderful things that God is, that God gives us, man, this is the awesome, wonderful new life that God has given us. It helps me to be content and, man, you're doing some wonderful things here. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, rose again on the third day to defeat death. For anyone who places their faith in him, was about so much more than that ticket to heaven. We could have contentment in this crazy life. But it's our choice whether or not we're going to actually trust him, or whether we're going to cast our anxieties on him, have the joy of the Lord be our strength. So why search for more elsewhere, when God's the only one who's able to do abundantly more than we could ever think or ask? So let's close. Let's pray. I'd encourage you, if there's anything you need to bring to the Lord now. And now's a wonderful time. If you want to come up here, you're welcome to do that at any point during our services. These are your rails. This is your church to do whatever business you need to do with the Lord. Next week, we're going to follow up. How do you pray peace into your life? When I'm not necessarily peaceful, how do I pray that peace into my life? We're going to look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed peace into his life when things were about to get pretty tough. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, and I'll close this out. Lord, there's so many real pains and troubles. We're not getting out of these trials quickly, not anytime soon. But Lord, you're here with us. Lord, help us to be content in the newness of life, content with what you're doing in us, in each of us. Lord, I pray that you would draw each of us closer to you in this season. May we see the much more that you desire from our lives, and may we thirst and hunger for that, for you. It's in Christ's name we pray.